I hope that in this series that you are not just, as we say it, try to say it quite often, this is not about learning something. Jesus didn't call us to, he called us to be disciples. Discipleship is not about all the things that we know. It's about how we're allowing God to change us. So like one of the things, it's more behavioral than it is knowledge-based. And so that's something that's really important to understand. So when we talk and we say, man, you know, like even in this series, from here to there, this is a behavioral thing that God's doing in all of our lives. And the great thing is it's a process, as we'll look at today. This series is about practical steps, taking practical steps that will take us, that God is leading us from where we currently are to where He wants us to be. And this applies to all different kinds of areas that we've looked at in the series, like our work, our spiritual life, our family life, and today's topic even probably just as much, and that is our social life. And we sometimes miss God's design, what God wants from our life, how He wants your life to be. And so Jesus said it this way in John 10:10. He said, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy." Jesus said, "My purpose is to give life in all of its fullness." And so that's a good question that I think that all of us have to ask is, are we experiencing the fullness of God in our lives? Is it changing how we act? Is it changing our behavior? Because that's what God's doing. God is constantly leading us. One of the things that we've said, and I want you can write this in on your notes if you want to. I believe there's a fill-in for this. But here, where you currently are, where we currently are, is not the goal. God is currently leading us because where we are currently is not the goal. And that doesn't mean that you're a bad person because of your current condition. Because God is always in the process of changing us and transforming us. So just because you are at a place right now, whatever place that might be, we're all in different places. Some of you, this might be your first time in church. This might be your fifth time in church ever. Other people, this is, might be where you grew up. You might have grown up in church. And so you might be in a different place, but it doesn't matter where you are. God is leading all of us because our current condition, regardless what it is not the goal. God has big plans for you, and that includes what we're looking at today about our social life. This social life issue is really about our friends, the friends that we pick. I think our friends are probably our most valued commodity, if you really think about it. We love family, don't get me wrong. We all love family. But family, you didn't select your family. You were born into a family, right? You had to learn to love your siblings. Sometimes you have to learn to love your spouse when you don't feel like it, right? I mean, if you're married, you know that to be true. That's just common sense, right? But the truth is, when you're family, it's like you didn't pick this person, but they still have great influence in your life. You still value them. But we all know that family can be like fish after 3 days, they stink, right? So even though you might love family, there is this point where you've spent enough time with them. But when it comes to friendships, you can endure a whole lot longer with friends. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you can go somewhere with friends, and yeah, you get on nerves. Don't get me wrong, you can get on each other's nerves. But you can really tolerate friends a whole lot longer than family usually, because friends are people that you handpick. You select them for relationship, unlike family. Friends are people that we want to be with. Friends are people that have great influence. Family has great influence. But you guys know, gosh, usually the influence that comes with family is something that we have to reach our very bottom before we ever listen to our family. Or not just to get, our family has to pass away and then we listen to our family. Because a lot of times we tend, as you grow up, you tend to fight your parents and their advice and what they're telling you to do because they love you and they really have this great advice for you, but a lot of times we fight it, but we don't tend to fight friends' advice. And that's usually because we value friends a whole lot more than we do family. Doesn't mean we don't love them the same or even love our family more, but we tend to listen to our friends. In fact, you can write this down. There's a fill in there. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Show me the people that you spend the most time with, and I can show you the trajectory of your life. I can show you where your life is headed. I mean, my parents used to drill this into my head. They used to really, really try to help me to understand this. Solomon, the wisest man of all time, wrote in Proverbs, and years ago, he writes something that's very similar to what I just said, and that is this. He said, be with wise men and become wise. Be with evil men and become evil. You and I become like those we hang out with. We know that. That's why this thing with friendship is so important for us. I don't know about you, but when I got into trouble, rarely did it happen alone. My first run-in with the law is I was 3 years old and I stole candy from a market that was right across the street from my parents' house. And my mom and dad didn't know about it, but then when they found out that I had stolen candy, they took me back and made me give it back. You know, they made me give back and to pay for whatever I had done. That was my first run-in with the law, and that was on my own. I did that by myself. But after that, I remember running with people and just getting into problem, and the problem wasn't like there was these big things, but my friends always had this influence in my life that got me into trouble. And you guys know this is true. I mean, we tend to hang out with people that we really like, and a lot of times they lead us in a bad direction. Friends will either elevate you or undermine you. Their influence is either going to help you or it's going to hurt you. If you hang out with people that have great marriages, it's going to help your marriage. It's going to help you to be a better spouse, a better husband, a better wife, better father, better mother. If you hang out with people that are really good with their finances, it's going to help you with your finances. If you run into people that are really good with relationships and building people up or leadership, it's going to make you a better leader. If you run with people that have a great spiritual life and a great walk with God, that is going to benefit you. You're going to become like the people they're either going to build you up or they're going to undermine you. The same as the opposite is also true. You hang around people that their marriage is falling apart, it's going to have an impact on you. You're going to learn this kind of behavior. And that's something that is typical, but we probably don't consider it all that much. Proverbs 12:26 says this, "The righteous, those that are right with God, those that value their relationship with God, the righteous choose their friends carefully." I don't know about you, I probably didn't learn that soon enough. I mean, I wish I would have learned that a long, long time ago, but I didn't. But now that I have learned it, it is very important. Hopefully, it's something that you have learned as well, and maybe if you haven't, maybe this is the time that you can learn it. That choosing your friends carefully is so essential. In fact, we've got to get it right because the success and failure of our life really rides on the people that we surround ourselves with. I don't know about you, but any success that I've had, any success that has come in my life is usually the result of people that God has used to help me. They have influenced me in the right way or in a good way that has benefited my life. That's why this friendship thing is so important for all of us. So here's something I'd like for you to do. You don't have to do it right now. I would like for you to do it probably, especially if you go to a connection group, so you have this done before you get there. I want you to write down or list 5 of your closest friends. There's 5 slots there on your notes. 5 of your closest friends I want you to write down. This is not family members. This is not your spouse. This is not your imaginary friend that your mom has told you is fine to have. None of those people qualify for this. I'm talking about people that you are closest to. Okay, people that you are closest to outside of family and your spouse. List those 5 people. These are the people that you are allowing to influence you. These are the people that you are allowing to influence you. Sociologists say that you are, and you may not like to hear this, or maybe you might like to hear this, you are the average of these 5 people. You are the average of these 5 people. That's how important your relationships are. The people that you allow to influence your life, you are the average of those 5. So maybe that might be an awareness thing where you look and you go, man, I need to select my friends better, or I need to be more cautious as I select my friends. Are you hanging around the right people? If you really want to make God a priority in your life, if you really want to get from here to there, if you want to get from your current condition to where God is leading you, are these friends that you have in your life, these influences, are they going to take you there? Or are they going to hurt you and hurt that progress? That's kind of what we're looking at. You can write this down too. It's impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. I think most people want the right life. We want a life that is not just right with God. We want it to be the best life that it can be. And the closer that you understand God's love and the more closer you get to God, then you want a life that reflects God. We can't have the right life with the wrong friends because of this influence issue that we deal with. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says it this way. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The life that God's developing in you, this God is constantly developing character in you. And if the people that you're hanging out with are undermining that, then they're working against this life that God is building for you. So bad company does corrupt good character. This was something my parents drilled into my head growing up. It's something I've tried to teach our boys. But this is still true for me as an adult. It's still true for you as an adult. It's true for all of us that the company that we select can undermine the work that God is doing. And that is like, I don't know about you, to me that's very sobering. It's difficult to handle that. I think sometimes what we do is we friend down. And let me explain what I mean by that. We find people in our lives that we go, man, you know what, their life was way more screwed up than mine. And so we're really close, we allow ourselves to get really close because it makes us feel better. That is friending down. I'm not saying that we should not friend everyone, but we tend to allow these individuals to get really close to them and they have this great influence, but we're friending down rather than friending up. And I'm not saying that we show favoritism, but I would say this, you've got to be cautious. Jesus loved everybody the same, but he did not treat everybody the same. Jesus had 12 disciples that he did life with. He didn't just run with anybody and everybody. He hung out with sinners. He went to their homes. He had dinner with them. He went out to people that had no relationship with God, people that were like, that nobody else wanted to hang out with. Jesus hung out with them periodically, but he did life. The people that did, that influenced Jesus were his disciples. And of those 12, three of them, he was even closer to. That's what I'm saying when I talk about friending down versus friending up. Here's the thing. Here's some things that friends provide that I think we need to understand. First of all, friends provide advice to live by. Friends will always give you advice to live by. The question is it good advice? Is it right advice? What kind of advice is it? For example, let's say that you're having a problem with your spouse. And you've got a friend that you're talking to and they give you advice and they say, dude, you know what? I'd leave her. Or I would leave him. That's not the advice that you need. But if you select but that's what happens with different advice from people that we associate with. Psalms 1 says this, all the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God. But they delight in doing everything God wants them to. And day and night are always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. Are the friends that you have in your life helping you to think of ways to follow God more closely or to not follow God at all? It's important to ask those questions. Friends also provide not just advice to live by, but support to live with. We all need support in our lives. What kind of support are you getting? I mean, you know what? I can be straight up if I can. When times are tough, are your friends leading you to smoke joint with them? Are your friends leading you to drink? Are your friends leading you to a substance that's going to help you? Is the support that they're giving really godly support that's going to help you in your life? You have to decide. Remember, I'm glad all of you are here. I want you guys to be here. But just because God, wherever your current condition is and God is leading you somewhere else, that doesn't mean that you're going to get there if you don't want to go there. If you want to get where God is leading you, then you've got to take these steps. But God's never going to force you. God's never, and I'm certainly not going to force you myself. We all need support, and friends provide support. It just has to be the right support. Another one is friends give us an example to live out. Friends, the friends that you have in your life, the friends that you have in your life will provide an example that you in turn will imitate. I know you don't think that's probably completely accurate, but it is. And it doesn't happen just like that. It's happened slowly over time that you will become like those you hang out with. In fact, Proverbs 22 says it this way, "Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul." And it's not just angry or hot-tempered people, it's anyone. It's whatever. It's somebody that's greedy. It's somebody that's having an affair. It's somebody that's doing whatever. Watch who you hang out with, because your friends give you an example that you will imitate. And I think that that's something we've always tried to tell the boys, you know. Look at the friends that you're hanging out with and then ask the question, is this who God wants me to be? Is this who God wants me to imitate? Because they're going to be an example for me to follow. If we look at the definition of a friend, Proverbs says that a friend loves at all times. And I don't know about you, but I just think it would be amazing if we had five friends that would truly be friends and love us through all times. I mean, they would love us through thick, through thin, through the good and through the bad. And you guys know what it's like. And I would encourage this for all of us. While we need friends that will be with us through thick and thin, I would also encourage you this, that you would be a friend that sticks with people through thick and thin. Because if you want that kind of a friend, then you've got to be that kind of a friend, first of all. We need people that will be with us throughout the history of our lives, not just short seasons. We need people that, I don't know about you, but we need people that know our past and say, I love that guy or I love that girl. I love who they are, and I've watched what God has done in their lives and what they have become. And it's a process for all of us. But we need these friends and that we have history with, doing life with, through hurts, transitions, and all those things. 25 years ago, the average American had 6 close friends. That's what studies say. 6 friends, 25 years ago, the average American had. Today, they say that the average American has 2 close friends. 25 years, and you know, what causes that? Is social media part of it? Probably. I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. Why? But I'll tell you, it's obvious that social media has an impact in the decline of relationships. Here's the sad thing is, 25% of Americans, they say, currently has no close friends. In fact, that would be 1 in 4 people in this room right now would not be able to write anybody's name on those lines. That's a terrible place to live. Can I say this? That's not where God wants you to live. That when we talk about the scripture that said, that where Jesus says that I've come that you might have life in its fullest, that's not what that life looks like. It's friendless. It's not. We know friends are important. We know we need the right kind of friends. We know that they will influence who we become and where we end up. You can write this on. This is another fill-in if you want to write it down. It says this, the wrong friends can't lead me where God is taking me. The wrong friends cannot lead you where God is taking you. If God is leading you and taking you from where you are to where he wants you to be, the wrong influences can't take you there. And we talked about this, but I felt like it was important to touch back on this just really quickly. We talked about this the very first week. Where is God taking us? I mean, if our current condition doesn't mean we're bad people, it just means this, hey, this is our current condition. Where is God taking you in your spiritual life? Where is God taking you personally? Where is he taking all of us? And that is to be fully committed to him, fully. Not partially, but fully committed to him. That's the goal for everyone. We talked about this when we said, if you go down to the bridge, that's God's plan for them. If you go down to, you go right across the street to All Saints Community, same there. You go to People's, no, it's People's Church. That's not God's plan for, no, it's God's plan for People's Church too. I love People's Church. They're great. God wants us to be fully devoted followers. In fact, I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5. It says this, may the God of peace himself make you entirely pure and devoted to God. Get that? Not partially. May the God of peace himself make you entirely pure and devoted to God. That's what God desires for us. And fully devoted basically says this, I've embraced Jesus wholeheartedly. He's what I want my life to be about. I'm not going to ride the fence any longer. It's not going to be about my way throughout the week and then God's way on Sunday. That's not what my life's going to be about, because that's more religious and it'll suck the life out of you, basically. Romans 12:1 says this, I encourage you to offer your bodies as the living sacrifice dedicated to God and pleasing to Him. That's what God wants for you. It's what He wants for me. I think it's important to understand that this is a process. There's no waving a magic wand. It doesn't just happen like that. I wish it would. That would be easy. But you know what? I think that the process is so important because the process forces us to deal with our own failures. If process forces us to deal with our shortcomings, because if you're anything like me, which I think you are because you're human, and that is your very best intentions, maybe you want to live a fully devoted life for God, but every day you blow it. And finally you get to that point and you go, man, I just need to give up because I can't do this. I want to, but I can't. And what it forces us to do is to recognize the truth, and that is, on our own, we can't. We have to work and depend on God. That's what God wants us to do, is to live a life that depends on Him, doing life with Him. So the goal that God has for us is for us to trust Him always, to do what the Scriptures say, to love Him and to love others. Let me give you another fill-in for your handout, and that's this. Friends will lead you where you would not go on your own. Friends are people that will lead you where you would not go on your own. And that's a positive and a negative thing. Friends will lead you where you would not go on your own. Because we either make God our claim or we make Him our commitment. And there's a big difference. If God is just our claim, if we just say, hey, God is the most important thing in my life, and that's all we say, that doesn't create influence. But our commitment becomes a light to the world that other people see. And that's where influence comes. So as followers of Christ, our relationships are essential, and we need influences, first of all, to support spiritual strength in our lives. I personally need influences that support spiritual strength in my life. If you know the story, then you know this, that David was anointed to be the next king. He was a war hero. In fact, people were chanting things like Saul, who was the current king. They were chanting things like, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. In other words, David is the man. He's the one to follow. He's way stronger than Saul. That's what they're saying. Saul is so jealous. He's not just jealous, but it's jealousy that turns to hatred. And while David is dealing with this, while the current king is out to kill David, the current king's son, Jonathan, comes to David. And I'm just going to read verse 16. It says this, and Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh, which is the city where David was at, and he helped him find strength in God. Here's a guy that searches David out to help him find strength in God. I don't know about you, but we all need relationships. We need influences where people are helping us find spiritual strength that we need in life. Because I'll tell you, I don't care how close you are to God. I don't care how long you've been walking with God. I don't care how long you've been going to church. Every single one of us deal with temptations. Every single one of us get discouraged in life. Every single one of us go through hurts. Every single one of us have seasons of discouragement. And we need people that will help us find strength in God. Somebody that when you're down will help lift you up. Somebody when you are alone or when you're hurting will be there to help comfort you. That's what it means to find the strength that we need. We also need influences that encourage us to get there. We need people in our lives that will encourage us to get there where God is leading us. Because we can't get there on our own. We need somebody that says, hey, I'm going there too. I would love to encourage you. I would love to help you. I would love to be a part of playing some small part in working with God to get you there. That might be accountability. It might be somebody that comes alongside just that understands you. Somebody that comes alongside that just listens to you. Listen, we need people. We need influences in our lives that are going to walk with us and do life with us. Where you are currently, hey, that's where you're at. But your story doesn't end there. God has great plans for you, and God is taking you there. The question that you have to ask is, do you have the right influences? They're going to help you, and they're going to walk with you there. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. One day that we're all going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God, and I'm not going to be there. It's just going to be you and Him. It's just going to be me and Him. And we get to stand there. That's why this is so important. We don't want anything that's going to undermine what God is doing. We don't want anything that's going to influence us in a direction away from God. Listen, you know what? Not only do we need influences, you are an influence. You know that. If you're going to be a great influence, you're either going to be a thermostat or a thermometer. A thermostat controls the environment. I come in the morning, it's cold out, and so I set the thermostats. The thermostats determine the warmth of this room, and they influence the room. A thermometer just reads it. In fact, a thermometer is affected by the room. It doesn't determine anything. It just tells you the temperature. And that's the way influence is. That's the way your influence is. You can either be a thermostat. It's your choice. You decide. Look it. I want to close with this. We need influences that encourage us to get there. Yes. What do those influences look like? We've got to ask, do I have influences that first of all will pray with me? We all need people that will pray with us, allowing us to be honest with our hurts and our struggles, having relationships that are free of judgment, but also taking it serious enough that somebody will come alongside and say, you know what? I can't change you. I can't do anything more. The very best that I can do is talk to God on your behalf. And to have somebody that will pray with us is somebody that partners with God and us in getting us there where God is taking us. We need people that will pray with us. Do I have influences that will direct me to God rather than away? Are those the influences that you have in your life? That influences that will point you to God when everything, discouragement, situations, circumstances, when everything seems to be pulling you away from God? Do you have friends that are directing you to God? They're telling you things like this, like, I know it's not easy, but you've got to spend time with God. You've got to connect with God. I know it's not easy, but you know what? If you just turn off the TV and get into the Word, somebody that's going to direct you to encounter Him, man, that's somebody, that is an influence that we all need in our lives. The last one is, do we have influences that provide an image of God's love? You know what? Any friend will love you when times are good, but we need somebody that's going to love us, and their love is going to reflect God's love. That's why what we do here at The Quest is, where do you find these relationships? Where do you find people that are going to pray with you, people that are directing you to God, people that are going to love you or give you an image of God's love? That's why we encourage people to get into connection groups, because that's where you discover these relationships. And I'll tell you, I can be straight up with you, right? I mean, I don't want to lie to you. That's not good. But if I'm going to be straight up with you, you're going to give this to chance. You're going to say, yeah, you know what? I need those kind of things. But you know what? That connection group thing, my small groups, man, I just can't do that. That's too much commitment for me. Or you might say, that's too difficult for me. We all have these reasons why we can't. And what ends up happening is we stop taking steps that are going to get us there. And part of the reason is we don't have the influence of people to help us get there. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. We're going to close in prayer. And I just want to encourage you. That's the best way I can do it. Please take this serious. Please be serious about the influences you allow in your life. They will determine the future of your life. Your friends and influences will determine whether your life looks more or less like Jesus, your friends. Is this important? Oh man, it is so important. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know that God has a plan for your life, and maybe that's where you need to begin. Maybe you need to break an addiction in your life. You need God to do that. Or maybe you need God to heal your marriage. God can do all of those things, and God wants to do all those things. And it comes out of relationship. Listen, we live in a world that's pulling us in many different directions, but we cannot afford to miss where God is leading us. I'm telling you, I don't know what there looks like completely to you or in your life. I know it's fully full commitment, but I can tell you one thing for sure, that there is much better than here. And God has people that will help you get there. I want to pray for you, Father. You see, each one of us in our unique place, there's some that are here, Father, we don't even have a relationship with you, and they need that. Father, there's some that you are not the center of their lives, and you want that. In fact, nothing happens until that happens. And so for every person that's asking and talking to you right now, in the smallest whisper of their heart, those that are saying, God, help me to get there. Father, I ask that you'd begin a work in their hearts and in their lives, that you would give them a clean slate, that you would allow them to experience your love, your grace, and your mercy, that you would walk with them through the challenges of their life. Father, I ask for every person that you would provide influences that help them walk with you. Father, help us to be friends and influences to one another in our church and in our connection groups that help people get there. Father, I just thank you because I know that when we're a part of helping people and loving people, that we're a part of your work in people's lives. So Father, today, help us to be influences, and Father, also help us to be rightly influenced by people that you bring into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.